Okay, welcome to Scariff Bay Community Radio and the latest edition of the Premier League review show from Fever Pitch to Hurler in the Ditch. So I am joined tonight by my three regular contributors. So first we have Ross Martin. So Matt Ross, do you want to introduce yourself?
Yeah, thanks for being there, Tim. Yeah, so Ross Martin back again, another long-time Arsenal fan, and yeah, looking forward to the show again.
Terry, back from London.
Hello, Terry Hogan, currently up in Kepaban, and enjoying the place and enjoying Ireland. And but I'm a long-time Arsenal fan, and I've got a whole package of funny stories about all the different things that used to happen in the old Highbury Stadium.
And thirdly, and by no means least, and just before I introduce him, I'd like to say the one of the very few football pundits who predicted that Arsenal would lose in Porto, James Rowe. So James, do you want to introduce yourself?
Hello everybody, my name's James Rowe, speaking to you live from Amsterdam, football writer by trade and also an Arsenal fan of plus 35 years, and recently also on TalkSport. So nice to be on different platforms in this day and age.
Okay, thanks lads. Okay, so look, it's a very busy weekend, there's no point in getting around it, and it's a really an unusual title race in the sense it's, I think the Premier League, the top three teams is divided by 2 points, and just to give you a bit of context about that, the Serie A is presently 16 points between first and third, and the Bundesliga has 14 points, so it is a highly competitive race for the championship. But we'd have to start off anyway, maybe just from a bit of feedback of our previous listeners, we seem to always forget the Monday night fixture, so this time we're going to start with the Monday night fixture. So Chelsea and Newcastle is the first match we're going to review. So Ross, how do you think Chelsea and Newcastle is going to go?
Yeah, I kind of coined a phrase for this one. I was just looking up on the fixtures over the weekend. I'm going to call this one El Cashico. So two of the probably two of the richest clubs in world football. It's quite funny that the two of them are battling for mid-table obscurity now in for this season. I think over the course of obviously the next couple of years, Newcastle are getting, they're obviously getting, going to get themselves a little bit stronger. They're going to be pushing for a lot more trophies. I think that the two clubs, they're quite similar in nature in terms of where they are as football clubs, in terms of management, in terms of their current form. I think you can probably see Chelsea taking a victory here with this one. I just think that over the last number of weeks, they're kind of seem to be running into a bit of form. Obviously, both teams, again, can probably only ever be one match away from a crisis if you look at the likes of their managers that they have, and there's constantly under pressure. So, yeah, I can see Chelsea winning this one.
Yeah. Now, James, we get you in here. How do you think Chelsea and Newcastle's going to go?
I think it'll be a draw. I think that both teams are going through the motions. And as Ross says about the money involved with both clubs, but neither appear to have a coherent structure. They appear to be loaded, excuse the pun, but they don't really adhere to the structure, to have a structure to move forward and progress. I mean, I think Pochettino's probably the most overrated manager in the entire league. And, you know, how he's got the Chelsea job, for me, is a bit of a mystery. But I think it will be a 1-1 draw. And I would like to think that the Premier League and the FA would, in future, think about the geography regarding the fixtures they choose on a Monday night. Because for Geordies to travel down to London for a Monday night kickoff, especially if they're based in Newcastle, it would be a very difficult task to get there and home again, especially with work commitments. So I think next season they've got to start thinking about that. It's one of the things they do here in the Netherlands, where they've had games on Friday nights for many, many years. But they've always made sure that the geographical locations make sense. For example, tonight, Go Ahead will play at home to PSV in Deventer. And distances between Deventer and Eindhoven are not massive, but it's also with one eye on PSV's Champions League game against Dortmund this coming midweek. So in that case, the FA and Premier League could learn a lot from the Dutch Kamerbay and the Dutch FA.
Oh, very good. Now, Terry, how do you think Chelsea and Newcastle are going to go?
Well, I played at a wedding just before Christmas, and half the crowd were down from Newcastle. And they're very passionate supporters. I had to learn a whole load of Newcastle songs for the occasion. And I was listening to the CEO of Newcastle talking today, and she was thinking that eventually because her bosses, if you like, are the Saudi royal family, and she thinks that the Saudi teams will eventually, or fairly soon, be allowed into the Champions League. They'll have to sort of drop the word European.
Oh, yeah.
You can't stretch the geography that far. But currently, Newcastle are leaking goals. Chelsea are an unpredictable team. They actually drew at Man City, which is a cracking result, and then lost to Palace.
Yeah.
So I think Chelsea will squeeze it, but I think it'll probably be 2-1 to Chelsea.
That's very good. Oh, yeah. Yeah, so thanks for that, lads. So that's the first fixture. Actually, I just give me, I'm going to go for a Chelsea win with a Cole Palmer score, a goal to do it. Now, so the next big fixture, the first fixture on Saturday, is Man United and Everton. Obviously, we have a lot of listeners with a keen interest in this, and of course, Big Jim is now in charge, or has got his portion of Manchester sorted out, and he's going to start putting teams back into their boxes. Not so he should have told Fulham before he made that statement. So, Ross, how do you think Manchester and Everton's going to go?
Yeah, it's an interesting game as well now, I think. Man United are a funny team over the last this year, like, as they've only drawn two matches all year. So Arsenal themselves were in a similar situation maybe 2 years ago. I think Arsenal went through a season where they only drew three times all year. And again, you kind of, I won't say you knew what you were going to get, but you were either going to get a very good performance or quite a poor performance out of them. I'm not really sure. I thought Everton last week were actually very, very unlucky now against West Ham. In fact, they had two injury time goals going against them for that, to take the loss. I think there's an element of wasted opportunity as well. They had lots of chances. Calvert-Lewin hasn't been playing well this year at all. I can really see Man United winning this one. I think Everton themselves, there's a fear. I know they've got the points back from their fine. I think they got an extra 4 points back. I don't know if they're resting on their laurels over the last few weeks. They've been actually quite poor. And whether they could very, very easily get drawn back into a relegation battle. Like, they're not too far away from it as it stands, and current form could see them pull back into that now as well. But yeah, I think Man United will win this one.
Yeah, very good. And actually, just as you mentioned there, there's a table. This is not a great piece of data, not like that, but there's a table called Big Chances Missed, and Haaland is actually top of it, but let's say he creates a lot of chances. But Beto and Calvert-Lewin, I think, are in position 3 and 4 of it. That's put real pressure on the rest of the team. Now, Terry, how do you think Man United and Everton's going to go?
Well, I've got a bit of skin in this game. I've got a very good friend who's a lifelong Everton supporter, and I do look out for their results every weekend. They have been awful. Dyche has sort of steadied the ship, but of course, Man United have had a very funny few weeks as well. They actually beat Villa, who are the surprise team of this season, but I think Man United will squeeze it just by the odd goal.
Yeah, very good. And James, how do you think Man United and Everton's going to go?
I think it'll be a 2-0 win for Manchester United. I do find it quite strange how Jim Ratcliffe appears to be lauded as a saviour when he, first and foremost, he's a Chelsea fan. And he's only in the Manchester United game to make money. So for media suggesting that a new dawn is going to break at Manchester United with all the plans regarding stadium redevelopment and regarding infrastructure, when you have a part owner who's first and foremost a Chelsea fan, my question would be, what are you doing in Manchester?
Yeah.
And Manchester United are the biggest club in the country. And therein answers your question. I think it's very much profit-based from Jim Ratcliffe. And considering how he affected the French side Nice in the day-to-day running of their football club, that, you know, before he took over, they were doing a lot better. I think this heralded new dawn at Manchester United will leave much to be desired.
Yeah, and actually, that's a good point. Just to move on now, the next fixture I'm going to look at is maybe one that would have interested the Irish listeners, in fact, that it's Luton Town and Crystal Palace. Now, we have lauded Luton Town here, no one less than myself. I believe, you know, their hard work will get you over the line in the end. But Luton Town are funny. They're on 20 points, they're in 18th position, Ross has made the point, Everton are after getting some points back, and Nottingham Forest, a team I think nearly all believe to go to relegation, have created a small bit of a gap, 4 points, and actually, like 4 points at the far end of the table is a lot of points. So this fixture, I think the pressure is beginning to mount up on Luton. They'll have to start getting fixtures or a few wins or definitely start picking up points fairly soon. So how do you think Crystal Palace and Luton's going to go, Terry?
Well, I'm thinking of the match that Arsenal played up at Luton, and we only squeezed the last minute winner. So they are fighting, and is it Gary O'Neill? The manager has some good players there. So and they're in the quarterfinals of the FA Cup, of course. So I think their star is in the ascendancy. They've won 3 out of the last 5. So and Palace are an unknown quantity these days, but I'd like to see Luton stay up, but not at the expense of Everton, but maybe a draw might be the best result there.
Now, Ross, how do you think Crystal Palace and Luton's going to go?
I actually think this could be one of the games of the weekend, because if you look at Crystal Palace and Luton Town over the last number of weeks, there's been an awful lot of goals in each of their games. I think both teams are fighting away. Like, I think Crystal Palace themselves, they have a lot of exciting players, like Easy, you have a few guys, and you've Luton as well, Ogbeni. I know Ogbeni didn't start last week, he came on fairly early. He scored against Liverpool a couple of weeks ago. They have a lot of players in this match that are just like running with the ball. It's a match I think that could be won for the neutrals just to sit down and enjoy. I probably am going to go for Luton Town in this one. I think they're probably due a result. I think these are two teams are the type of teams where they'll get a win every other game or win every third game or so, and Luton are probably due that victory. They've had a kind of few unlucky results, I think, recently. It's going to be very tight. Maybe Luton by the odd goal.
Yeah, and actually, did they get 4 goals against Newcastle today? Recently enough. So that was anyway. So James, how do you think Crystal Palace and Luton's going to go?
I agree with Ross. I think Luton Town will win. I think it'll be 2-1 for Luton. I think they've been full of endeavour this season, and they've really, really been a breath of fresh air to the Premier League. I would say regarding Crystal Palace, Oliver Glasner, obviously I know of him from his time at Frankfurt and also Wolfsburg. To manage Wolfsburg and Frankfurt and to win the Europa League with Frankfurt and then become Crystal Palace manager, it's completely different. And it's also yet another foreign manager taking an English Premier League job. You know, I don't think we're too far away from every single manager in a Premier League club being a foreign origin. And although I'm very much pro-immigration, especially with the choice that I made in my life to relocate to Amsterdam, I don't think when the Premier League was conceived back in the early 90s that they never thought that they would have a day, which could well happen quite soon, where the manager of all of the English clubs in that division would be foreign. And where the only thing that's English about the English Premier League would then be the locations, yeah, and the names of the teams. And my point being is that where are the next generation of English managers coming from? I mean, I was watching a small video today about Sir Bobby Robson. It's no coincidence that there's never been another one like him. You know, to go abroad and to win titles in the Netherlands, in Portugal, in Spain, as well as what he did at Ipswich. And, you know, nobody's been able to match what he's done because they don't have the courage that he had. But I would say in terms of going forward with the English Premier League, where are the next generation of English managers coming from?
Yeah, very good point.
It's an interesting point because I think like the English Premier League has gone to the stage where now in all but name, it is effectively a European Super League without the... Your order, like, I know you've obviously got your Real Madrids, you've your Barcelonas, Bayern Munichs, maybe PSG, but like aside from that, who else are you going to throw in there really? Like, it's if you're in the Premier League, like some of the Premier League teams or teams that get promoted up from the Championship immediately become some of the most revenue driven teams in the world. Like, they're some of the richest clubs in the world. It's fascinating in that, but it's not necessarily a good thing either.
Yeah. Now, actually, I'm following on from that kind of point, I'm going to just jump to maybe the first fixture of the Sunday. So Aston Villa are playing Spurs on Sunday. Like, this, okay, we know the two big matches this weekend. There's the three teams going for the title, and they'll be our primary focus. But this Aston Villa Spurs match is interesting because, as James has just highlighted, Unai Emery had a very, very good record in Spain. Postecoglou came in and it was Ange Ball, it was Everton. So these are the players. But now, these two teams are, I'd say, they're fighting for that fourth Champions League spot at the moment. So, Terry, I'm going to go straight to you. How do you think Aston Villa and Spurs are going to
well,
go?
Well, I'm a big fan of the Villa manager, Unai Emery. I thought he did a decent job at Arsenal, having taken over very much a fading club under the latter days of Arsene Wenger. And he's turned it round within two seasons, I think. So I see Villa winning. Spurs, they started doing well under Postecoglou, but they've sort of faded now. So, yes, definitely a Villa win.
Oh, yeah. James, how do you think Villa and Tottenham Hotspur is going to go?
I think it'll be a draw. I think Ajax held Villa yesterday. Villa visiting in Amsterdam last night. And it was a 0-0 draw. A draw was a fair result. I think the rhythm of playing European matches and Premier League matches a couple of days afterwards will hit Aston Villa. And that's why I think it will be a draw. I think Tottenham have made slight progress under Postecoglou. But, you know, they play good football at times. But I just think this will be an even match. And it's also strange how, you know, arguably two of the most respected top six, top eight clubs of English football, they appear to be falling over themselves for a place in next season's Champions League, when next season's Champions League really is a Super League in everything but name, especially with the with the changes they have, where, you know, you've got a 36 participants in a league format, 3 points for a win, 1 point for a draw. And it, once you've played your eight group games next season, you have, if you finish between first and eighth place, you go into the last 16. If you finish between ninth and 25th, you go into a playoff round. And if you finish between 25th and 36th, you are completely eliminated. And this is the same for all UEFA competitions. So it really is, the ramifications I don't think have really hit home. But yet, clubs in England appear to be falling over themselves for a place in that literally European Super League in everything but name.
Yeah, an interesting point on that as well is that, like, the potentially the top five in the Premier League could actually get into that Champions League, because I think the way they've reallocated the positions, it's down two positions. They're down to, I think, two of the highest performing countries in the last year's European competition, which at the minute, England, I think they've been in it for the last, if you retrospectively go back, I think for the last 4 or 5 years, England would have had the extra place. Funny enough, I don't think this year they are. I think they're in third position. Now, obviously, we may talk about European football later on, but there's implications in terms of the performances of the remaining English teams in the European competition.
Yeah, that's interesting. Actually, how do you think Villa and Spurs will go, Ross?
I think this one is going to be a draw. I think both teams, obviously, yeah, just to echo what James is saying there as well, I think Villa may be suffering from the perspective of playing on the Thursday to Sunday. I think both teams, for the most part, have been found wanting against the teams that have finished or that are above them currently in the Premier League. But below, they tend to be getting reasonable enough results. So they're quite similar, and they're in a similar enough trajectory. I think, yeah, this one will be a draw. Yeah. I think it's probably, yeah, like, Tottenham are a few points behind. They probably needed more, but I just think Villa at home.
Yeah, and the next fixture we look at now, lads, is Brighton and Forest. Now, I watched Forest and Liverpool last week, and let's be honest, it was some into a match. And even though I'm not putting anything against the referee, it reminded me of Clare's Munster Championship in the 80s. Maybe a genuine mistake, but the ball seemed to end up in a Corkman's hand after it. So when Queevey Kelleher landed this ball down, McAllister and Nunes showed temperament that Germans, Norwegians, and any of these very, very, how would I say, astute, pragmatic nations, not their Latin temperament that these people are famous for. A beautiful cross and a great header and 3 points for Liverpool. And those 3 points could be the 3 points that give Liverpool the championship at the end. But anyway, moving on, Notts Forest are trying to avoid relegation, and Brighton, I think, have lost a bit of momentum. James, how do you think Brighton and Nottingham Forest is going to go?
I think it'll be a draw. I think the consequence of what happened to Brighton last night, I think they'll struggle to shake it off. They went to Rome last night with, I would say, expectation, and they were handed a 4-0 defeat. I thought the lineup of De Zerbi yesterday was nothing short of criminal. To have arguably four of your best players on the bench, including Evan Ferguson, who knows where the goal is, when you're going away to play against Roma I thought it was extremely naive, to put it politely. And I think the defeat will still hang over them when they play at home to Nottingham Forest. And I think they'll find it hard to shake it off. So that's why I'm going to predict a draw between Brighton and Nottingham Forest.
Thanks, James. And actually, just a funny anecdote. There's a Dublin football correspondent. And I don't know, James, you know, but Dubliners and Joe, they're very precious about their own footballers, and Evan Ferguson is immediately got into that bracket, and he feels that Ferguson is not being treated by Roberto De Zerbi, and he is now started referring to Roberto De Zerbi as Roberto de Cromwell, and I just like to so Cromwell is not held in great regard in Ireland. So anyway, Terry, how do you think?
I love that story. So
how do you Brighton and Forest?
Yeah, I mean, De Zerbi is not as good as I thought he was, actually. Was it last time out, Brighton were beaten 3-0 by Fulham, of all people. I do like Forest, and I do like their current manager's name, Nuno Espirito Santo, which always sounds like a part of the Latin Mass to me when I used to be an altar server. So I'd like to see Forest win it, because they're still not safe from being, you know, going down. So it's probably a draw, but I'm going to stick my neck out and say a Forest win.
Hey, very good. And now, Ross, how do you think Brighton and not Forest is going to go?
Yeah, it's interesting. I think De Zerbi, just to echo what James is saying as well, I think his stock has definitely fallen, and I think the fact he's went to Rome and got a bit of a spanking isn't going to do his reputation in Italy any good either. Definitely, I think Brighton have really faltered over the last number of weeks, and it's probably, well, I don't think it's probably at all, it definitely is De Zerbi's most difficult period as a Brighton manager since he joined the club. He needs to knuckle down. I think he does definitely have a lot of players who aren't in form, and whatever way your opinion is on whether he's treating Ferguson fairly or not, Ferguson, he's played quite a few games over the last number of months, hasn't started a lot, but he hasn't been putting the goals away like he was at the start of the season. So you have him, you have Fatty, you have Billy Gilmore. There's a few players there that really would be expecting more from, but yet definitely over the last month they've been quite poor. Forest actually were very good against Liverpool. They had really good chances. They definitely did deserve something out of the game. I think they were definitely treated harshly, but that's by the way that happens. But yeah, they kind of do have themselves to blame as well, in the sense like where they had plenty of chances last week to get a goal against Liverpool. I'm going to call a draw here now, to be honest. I would probably like Forest to win and maybe pull themselves out of it a little bit. But yeah, I can see this one being a draw.
Yeah, very good. Now, the next fixture, I think, is an interesting one, because it's West Ham against Burnley. Now, Burnley, or I don't know what's happened to Burnley, but how does they look at your man? Because they're actually, Burnley are in 19th place. They have 13 points. Now, Sheffield United are actually just below them, but they're only below them on goal difference. So it's farcical how they're leaving your man there. But anyway, but West Ham United are a really interesting team. They're in 7th position. So in other words, not far away from challenging for definitely, Joe, if the 5th spot is a Champions League spot, they could end up in trouble. And I keep wondering, how the hell are they doing this? But I think it's one man and one man only. I think your man, Jarrod Bowen, is just unbelievable. So, West Ham versus Burnley. How do you think that's going to go, Terry?
Oh, well, I must say, if you're a Londoner and you follow football, even though you might be Arsenal or Tottenham, I don't think anybody minds West Ham doing well, apart from Millwall, who are their big enemies, although they very rarely meet, because I can't remember the last time Millwall were in the top league. I think it's an easy win for West Ham, even though they were involved during the week in European matches. I mean, Burnley are spiralling down, and it does worry me that teams that come up from the, you know, what's it called, the
championship
seem to go straight down these days, which makes me kind of worry, because that's not really the spirit you sort of want. I remember, in fact, I don't remember it before I was around, but Ipswich came up with Bobby manager?
Yeah,
he was, yeah. And they came up and won the league in their first season.
Did they?
Yeah, yeah. That's not going to happen again. You know, because the sort of gap between the top three or four or five.
Unless Man City get a whopper of a points deduction.
I'd love that. But it's not going to happen, because I'm sure there's brown envelopes and all kinds of things going on behind the scene.
Allegedly.
Allegedly.
Someone put that word in there.
Allegedly.
Just in time. So anyway, Terry, how do you think West Ham and Burnley?
West Ham are going to marmalise them. It's going to be what the Cockneys call a larrapin.
Oh, a good old larrapin. I love that phrase. Now, James, how do you think West Ham are doing under David Moyes? And is Jarrod Bowen single-handedly keeping him in his job?
I think it's a collective as well. I think Lucas Vakatawa is an amazing footballer.
Yeah.
And so underrated. And they really missed him when he was injured. And it's no coincidence since Lucas Vakatawa's come back, they've improved. And I thought their defeat last night in Germany, you know, this is a team they beat twice in the group stage. If you look at the last 16 of the Europa League, three of the ties played were original group phase ties, which have come together again in the last 16. So very, very strange. But I think it'll be a win for West Ham. I was on the show last time, and I'll reiterate it once again, because I don't think Vincent Kompany understands. When you have a player like Josh Cullen, who's played for Anderlecht, has accrued many caps for the Republic of Ireland, he's obviously a very good footballer, isn't he?
Yeah, very
so
good.
Why on earth is he not playing for Burnley? If you've played regularly international level and played for the biggest club in Belgium, you've obviously got something about you, and I don't understand why he doesn't play. And to follow on from Terry's point about teams that come up to the Premier League, I get the feeling now they're not concerned with staying up, they're more concerned with playing out from the back.
Yeah,
but if playing from the back is ensuring that you're going to go down like a lead balloon, you wouldn't do it. Most teams in previous years, when they come up, if they're doing something which is causing significant damage, they stop doing it. But in the case of Burnley, they won't change.
Yes.
They won't change. They will keep playing out from the back, playing out from the back. First and foremost, it doesn't suit them. It doesn't suit them as a club, doesn't suit them as a team, doesn't suit them as a collective. And I can't understand for the life of me why it hasn't been changed.
Yeah. A good point. And actually, you made the point there, like he has come up and it's a five-year plan. But five-year plans are all great. But like the Premier League, it's the, as I think Ross has pointed out, it's the European Super League now at this stage. Your principles and your ideals and, you know, really you have to wonder, are you going to reward players that are going to take instruction and work hard, or do you have to play to this system? And remember, Arteta, when he went to Arsenal first, he was just Pep Light. And I think Burnley is just Pep Light part two with Vincent Kompany.
Actually, Tim, a lot of people forget that when Arteta first came, it was defence, defence, defence. Yeah. And we ended up beating Chelsea in the cup final,
right,
only by knocking the ball over the top, long balls over the top onto Aubameyang.
That's right.
And all the rest of the match, we were defending, defending. This is what teams like Burnley should do. Get your defence sorted. Don't leak goals.
Yeah.
And as you say, this play out from the back needs some really good touch players, which Burnley don't have.
Yeah, yeah. Actually, there's one more fixture we're going to look at now before we have maybe a chat about Europe. But I just want to have a chat about Bournemouth. Now, Bournemouth, I know the manager is another Northern Spanish manager. He's Selinki has been a revelation. And James, just how do you think Bournemouth and Sheffield United are going to go? Or more importantly, how do you think Bournemouth are working their way through this year's season?
Well, I think Bournemouth have done very well because they were written off by Ole and Sundry, and I think they've coped really well. I think I think he's done well. He's coped with the difference between La Liga and the Premier League admirably, and to manage Rayo Vallecano as well, it's not easy, and I think he's done very, very well. And Solanke's obviously a good striker. Even when he came on loan here at Vitesse Arnhem many years ago, he looked like a very good player. And I think with Sheffield United, I read today that Chris Wilder's going to go to Saudi Arabia in the coming days to discuss his future with the chairman, with the owner. I think in the current climate, excuse the pun, surely an MS Teams meeting would suffice. You don't necessarily have to go to Riyadh to have the meeting in person, do you? But I think with Chris Wilder as well, I think blind love will ensure that in the short to mid term that he won't have a job. And this is a manager who 5 years ago his stock was so high. I refer to my interview with Richard Stearman that I had with him the season before Sheffield United became a Premier League club. And I asked him, and I said, what's Chris Wilder like? He said, oh, do you know what, James? I've never known anybody to stand up in front of a group of players and being able to motivate them and make everybody feel involved. And, you know, obviously the fantastic work that Chris Wilder did at Northampton and Oxford under massive financial restraints. If you fast forward 5 years, he's kind of reaching a bit of a dead end now.
Yeah.
You know, he was too proud to take the Aberdeen job. And I think that's a massive mistake. He was also at Watford. You know, when he almost got Sheffield United into Europe in their first season back in the Premier League, I think he was linked with the Villa job. And I think in the case of Chris Wilder, they say never go back, but football makes its own rules. And I think he was led by love and blind loyalty. And it's such a shame for a good manager. You know, I think a manager who's kind of lost his way a little bit. And it'd be interesting to see what happens to him mid to long term.
Yeah. Yeah, so Russ, just what do you think your man Bournemouth set up? Are they the next Brighton?
Yeah, like in fairness, and just as a comparison maybe to Burnley there, that teams that are coming up and just not being a little bit pragmatic and Burnley sticking to their guns, and the problem is Burnley are going straight back down now. Bournemouth are probably one of the best examples, along with Brighton, who teams that actually came up for a first couple of seasons, they were a little bit pragmatic, but now they can kind of let themselves go a little bit looser now and actually play a little bit of football, and you can see the roots of the reward like with that, because they're both of them are actually Premier League staples now for the last number of years. So
yeah, okay, so thanks lads for that. That's the most, there's two obviously big fixtures and we'll be coming back to those in about 10 minutes, but before that we're going to have a quick chat with James. Obviously, as I said at the start of the show, was I'd say very much in the minority when he predicted Arsenal were going to struggle in Porto. And Pepe, I watched this match, I thought it was just unbelievable. 41 years of age, standing in the middle of a defence, he had Saka and Martinelli either side of him, and believe me, he really ruled the roost, I felt. So we'll start with our European review with that fixture, Arsenal and Porto, second leg. James, how do you think that's going to go?
Well, I think, and I'm going to the game and I'm really excited, I think it's going to be 2-1 to Arsenal, which will result in extra time and potential penalties, and then it's in the lap of the gods. So I will say 2-1 to Arsenal. I think there's so many similarities between this game and the Sporting Lisbon home game last year. And to think that Arsenal are staring down the barrel of an eighth successive last 16 Champions League exit is a bit of a stain on the club. You know, we've had so many bites of the cherry in terms of European football that it is embarrassing. And I maintain that our attitude, specifically in the Champions League, has never quite been right. We appear to make the Champions League, the priority is the cash cow, never mind the sporting achievement. I will be fortunate on Tuesday to be going to my 34th European Arsenal game in the 35 years that I've been supporting the club. 32 of the 34 would have been at Highbury and the Emirates respectively, and the two away days I had in Amsterdam in 2003 and Eindhoven in 2022. And to have seen and experienced so much football at European level and to have not seen Arsenal win a European trophy for 30 years is extremely bittersweet. But I think it will be a really, really interesting game. Porto are a real team. You know, their manager, he's managed 365 games for Porto. He's won 265 of them. He's only lost 49. You know, Conceição, first and foremost, was a brilliant footballer. And he's a very astute manager. And they've got some great players. You know, they obliterated their rival, Benfica, 5-0 at home. With the likes of the Brazilian Galeno, Francisco Conceição, the son of Sergio, played really, really well. Pepe, as you say, and you know, they hold all the cards on Tuesday.
Yeah.
And I maintain that should they knock Arsenal out, they're candidates to win it. Not just because they would have knocked Arsenal out, but, you know, they'll be going for their third title. You know, lots of Arsenal fans love to write off many European teams, the likes of Rennes, the likes of Östersunds, who beat us, by the way. It's as if they're conditioned to think to themselves, if it's not Real Madrid, Barcelona or Bayern Munich, that the rest are absolute rubbish, when nothing could be further from the truth.
Terry?
Yeah, I was at the Sporting Lisbon match last season, our home game, And funny enough, the guy next to me, we were chatting about it. It was a poor game, and Arsenal went out. And I said to the guy next to me, it reminds me very much 4 or 5 years ago of the Olympiacos debacle, where again we were trying to pull back. I think it was a goal deficit, and went out. And it was so disappointing that we hadn't learned anything from all those intervening years. I will say I have actually seen Arsenal win a European trophy. And I managed to get on the pitch as a young kid. My father and I got on when we beat Anderlecht in the European FES Cup final. I did go to the Champions League final as well, and that was another debacle, but that's for another day. I can see Arsenal going out again. What this team do, Porto do, is they, instead of doing what a lot of EPL teams do, which is do a low block against Arsenal and try and stop us scoring, they did what's called a mid block. So they push everybody up from the back and they drop their forwards into midfield. And this business of tippy-tappy around the back and trying to play it through and trying to play through balls just doesn't work. And I think if we are going to score, it'll either be from a corner, which we do score an awful lot of goals from, or it will be go back to the old tactic of the long ball over the top, which is why I think they'll play Havertz and they'll play him at centre-forward. So to me, that's the obvious way to play this. If you try and play through Porto, it's not going to happen. We had 90 minutes of nightmare in Porto for that. So do the business of knocking it long, knocking it high, knocking it over their defence, which pushes up, and then you've got all the green grass in behind them.
Now, Ross, before I go to you, one quick question, yes or no. If Ramsdale was in goal in Portugal, would he have saved it?
I'm going to say yes.
Yes, yes.
Without a doubt. Just Reyes' positioning was very poor. And I know there's been a lot of, it was a worldly or whatnot, but at the same time, I thought Ray was very far off his line. He seemed to jump a little bit late. The ball didn't necessarily even go top bins. It landed halfway down the goal. So, yeah, look, value of hindsight is everything, isn't it? But
yeah.
I'll tell you who definitely would have saved it. Martinez, who we let go. 6-foot goalkeeper. You look at Liverpool, tall goalkeeper. All the big teams, tall goalkeepers, and yet we seem to have a 6-foot guy who's wonderful with his feet, and if the ball's close to him, but you can lob him and you can knock it into either corner. So I totally agree there, Ross.
Well, Ross, and go back to your prediction for
Tuesday night. I definitely think there was a bit of an arrogance in the first leg with Arsenal. I think they went Porto to decided, look, yeah, we'll nick a goal here or we'll take a draw and we're absolutely happy. I think if you look at the match, the last couple of minutes of injury time, how many times did we give the ball away? I would say maybe 5 times in injury time that we got the ball in reasonably decent position, didn't hold on to it, just kicked the ball straight back to them. So got absolutely everything that we deserved in that match. I'm going to disagree with the guys. I think I'm not going to say it's going to be an easy win on Tuesday night, but I think we will take the victory. I think it'll be 2-0, 3-0.
Hey.
I think I do think he'll play Havertz. I think you're exactly right, Harry. I think that they're going to have to be a little bit more direct than we have been, instead of little tippy-tappy stuff all around the box. I think Porto, I think they'll probably get found out a little bit in the Emirates. I think even the home crowd, home support is going to bring us through as well. Yeah, I definitely think Arsenal.
Yeah, and also, Ross, if you think that we never once exposed Pepe for pace, and he's 40 going on 50, you know. And he was never once exposed. Now, if you knock the ball, if they're going to push up and play this mid-block, then you've got all that space to knock the ball long and run him. If you do a foot race, you are going to always beat Pepe.
Yeah. And what you're saying there, Terry, as well, is that there's hope for all of us still.
Yes, yeah.
Now, James, we're going to obviously the two big Premier League fixtures, but there's one other fixture I want to ask you about. Atletico Madrid are playing Inter Milan. Atletico Madrid have become a bit of a, how would I say, they're part of the European Joe. They have a really outperformed, let's say, what we would class as bigger clubs in Europe. But how do you think they're going to go get on against Inter Milan?
I think they're going to win the home leg, but whether it will be enough to go through, I'm not sure. Inter Milan are doing wonderful things in Italy. They're a real team. I think the only thing stopping them from winning it is their manager at European level. And obviously they reached the final last year and came very, very close. But I think home advantage in the Wanda Metropolitano will ensure that Atletico Madrid win the game. Griezmann is evergreen. He's an amazing footballer. And obviously they've got Oblak as well as a very good goalkeeper. Some of their youth prospects in the Kelmes are doing very, very well. And the solid midfield that they've got, I think the home advantage will help them. But I think it's a real crossroads for Simeone. I think if he doesn't progress to the last eight and they're floundering in La Liga, where they're going to struggle to get that top four spot because they've got Bilbao and Sociedad breathing down their necks. And I think if they're not successful, they're also beaten in the Copa del Rey semi-final. They were taken to pieces by Bilbao, especially in the second leg. And I think should they end up not making significant progress in the Champions League and not getting top four, I think it could well be time for a change. Oh, yeah. For Atletico Madrid. Simeone would have been there 13 years. And, you know, I think the club will be in need of a change in that respect.
Yeah. Okay, lads. So, look, that was a thanks, James, for that. So, we have two matches left now. These are the three teams. Arsenal are playing Brentford on Saturday evening. Colossal fixture. And, of course, a proper Super Sunday fixture, Liverpool versus Man City. Just to give you a bit of context here, lads, in the era of three teams going for the Premier League this late, it doesn't happen that often. The last one, I think, was Pellegrini's time when Pellegrini made Man City. And actually, there was four teams that time. Arsenal, Chelsea, Liverpool, I think, and City, obviously, ultimately. And if we go right back, and I was asking Terry about this earlier, there was a famous one in 72 where four teams, Derby, a little-known manager called Brian Clough won the league with Derby. And he beat, he was running in for the latter start of the season with City, Leeds, and Poole, and Liverpool. And actually, strangely enough, Arsenal were defending double champions from 71.
That's right.
So, Terry, what happened to Arsenal in 72?
Didn't we play Leeds in the final? Yeah, and I'm afraid Leeds had a hoodoo sign over us. I was also at the League Cup final as a kid. Heartbroken to lose. And actually, Jack Charlton, I know he's very popular over here, he invented this business of blocking the goalkeeper, which hadn't been done before, or maybe it was his manager, Don Revie. And Jim Furnell, the Arsenal goalkeeper, landed on his backside, and it fell to Terry Cooper, the Leeds fullback, on the edge of the area. And he scored the sort of goal that sort of broke a thousand hearts, you know. Yeah. So, yeah, Leeds were a good team, very, very dour, very, you know, they just ground out victories. And I was saying to you a bit earlier, when my daughter decided to go to Leeds University, the University of Leeds, a little chill came down my spine as I thought, oh, no, not Leeds, of all places.
Okay, so James, we've got you first. James, how do Arsenal and Brentford, how's that going to work out?
I think it'll be a draw. I think their minds will be on Tuesday, and I think it'll be a draw. Obviously, it's a London derby, and we haven't done too well London derbies this season, drawing at home to Fulham, drawing at home to Tottenham. I think with the combination of the game on Tuesday, which is massive. I mean, you could arguably say that I think Tuesday is the biggest game of the season, because I really do think that if Arsenal were to exit the Champions League on Tuesday night, I'm 99.9% certain that that will be it and we won't win the league. So I think that the combination of those factors, as well as a good scoring Ivan Toney, and I think it'll be a 1-1 draw at the Emirates on Saturday.
Oh, Ross?
I'm going to again be a bit more confident than James there. I think Arsenal are going to win this. I think their form since the turn of the year has been absolutely sensational in the league. I think 31 goals scored, 3 conceded in 7 matches. Like, that's phenomenal going. I think they've been really going at teams from the start of every single match. Like, if you look at the Sheffield United match last week, I think we had 3 shots on target in the first 90 seconds.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, Sheffield United are a whole different kettle of fish and where they are at the minute. But I do think Arsenal are going at teams earlier. They're going at them hard. I think I seen a statistic there last week or so that Arsenal were the first team in Premier League history or in a good number of years that scored 2 goals in each half of consecutive football for, I think, was it 4 matches?
Wow. Tim, weren't we at this match last season?
We were, oh my God.
Yeah, this is, Tim Hogan, Tig and Terry went, we were all there, and we now realised, because the ref was, there was no VAR or whatever, that the Brentford goal shouldn't have counted, and we all trudged away and felt awful about it, and that ended up, that was the start of the
that was the demise from there.
I think so.
So Terry, how do you think it's going to go this season then?
Oh, I think Arsenal will win it.
Oh, very good.
Surely they will have learned from all their mistakes before.
Now, actually,
it's actually interesting on the match coming up. Like, I know we were spoke with Neil Mopey the last time we did the show, and since then, actually, he's been gone on a very barren spell, or maybe he's just reverted to type. I think he banged in 4 or 5 goals in about 5 or 6 matches.
Yeah.
But I think over the last 5 or 6 matches now, he's only got 1. So I know he's definitely fallen back. And I don't know whether that's the case that Tony's come into the team now and he's kind of taken the focus away from him a little bit. So, yeah, maybe there could be something in that on the Brentford side of things.
And I think they have a lot of injuries in defence. I think, to be honest, I do agree totally with James that the European match is going to be a distraction, but they're going so well, they have momentum, and I think they have a squad. I think Arsenal have a squad capable of winning this. So, lads, that brings us up to the, we've won last remaining fixture to decide. Now this, if things go right, it's conceivable that this match could be a draw, and it's very conceivable that Arsenal could beat Brentford. So Arsenal could be top of the league, 27, 28 matches. In other words, you're facing down the barrel of it. Are Arsenal, is this weekend, will this be the defining weekend? If you go ahead, that Pellegrini one, I mentioned that specifically because that was a very, very late surge and they ended up winning it. Was that the problem maybe that last year they were ahead too early, too soon? So what do you think of that, Terry?
Well, yeah, we did hit the front too soon, and what Arteta's done is go out and buy some experienced players and so on. We've got Jorginho in there and so on. I've got a very good Arsenal friend who, even when Arsenal scrape a win and we've cleared 6 shots off the line in the last 10 minutes, his famous answer is never in doubt. So I'm going to call it a draw. Never in doubt.
Okay, now, so James, Liverpool and Man City, these, what's it, El Cascio, I think was the phrase Ross used earlier, but these are real European superpowers. This could be, the biggest, it's bigger, I think, at this stage, or as big as Barcelona, Real Madrid, as big as any fixture in Serie A. This is really a clash of the titans. How do you think Liverpool and Man City is going to go this Sunday, James?
I think it'll be a draw, but I think it's indicative of the current climate where it's being billed as something a lot bigger than it actually is. You know, one of the teams is arguably the second biggest club in the country, and the other opponent in Manchester City, it's their decade, it's their time, and obviously they're financially backed. I mean, 24 years ago, they were a third division team, where they were lucky to scrape past Gillingham. And people do have very short memories in that respect. I think playing European football for both midweek, even though Copenhagen didn't appear too taxing for Manchester City, and Liverpool's great win in Prague last night, I think that will be a factor. And I think both teams will cancel each other out, and I do think it will be a draw.
Yeah, and actually, before I let you go now, but Phil Foden, I've seen a good bit of Phil Foden lately, and you know, there's a lot of Phil Foden versus Saka, and I suppose maybe Rashford, although I think he's gone back a bit, but who is the best player, who are going to be the players that are going to play, we'll say, either side of Jude Bellingham, let's say, behind Harry Kane in Europe? Phil Foden, single-handedly, he got the late winner in Copenhagen. That gave him a cushion heading for Man City. So how do you think, is Phil Foden really coming right at just the right time for Man City, James?
Yes, I believe so. And I think it's brilliant for an English footballer who's so young to have won everything. you imagine being his age in his position and what you've won already, and you're still going to play professional football for another 12 years. I think it's a great advert for what you can achieve if you have talent. He's obviously a well-grounded young man, and I think everything fits for him, and I think he's doing really, really well. I'm really, really pleased for him. Yeah. And obviously with Bellingham playing at the biggest club in the world, and you know the potential front six that England have, but people forget we've got a manager who is defensively minded. You know, he's shown it before. You are playing to win the European Championship in your own backyard, in front of your own people, in front of the eyes of the world. You go 1-0 up after 2 minutes, and then you sit back.
Yeah.
And you don't win the game.
Yeah.
And you get relegated from the Nations League group, which was difficult, but not extremely difficult. And he's been to Amsterdam to focus on Henderson. Henderson was captain of Ajax last night. He's only been there 6 weeks. So if you think of Piet Keizer, Johan Cruyff, Frank Rijkaard, the amazing captains that this amazing club of Ajax Amsterdam has had, and all of a sudden you've got Jordan Henderson wearing the armband. He's only been there 6 weeks. It's very much a sign of the times. It really, really is.
Yeah.
And I think that Southgate would rather pick Henderson and Phillips rather than a potential Foden, Rice, Saka, Kane, Bellingham, for example.
Oh,
and I think that's gonna hurt England.
Yeah.
You know, Southgate is going into his fourth major tournament. He can tell you everything about LGBT. He can tell you everything about Ukraine and Israel and that kind of thing. But his first job is to be manager of England. And at the minute, I think England can do an awful lot better.
Yeah. Now, Ross, is Virgil van Dijk, is he the new John Terry? Is he Vincent Kompany? Is he going to be the man that's going to inspire Liverpool?
He's probably a bit of them all rolled in together, isn't he? Well, I think he was fabulous in the Carabao Cup final, like with the team that Liverpool put out. He was absolutely brilliant. And yeah, look, he's gone through a bit of a tough patch over the last number of years. I think he was amazing when the year Liverpool won the league a couple of years ago. He was absolutely phenomenal when he moved over from Southampton. He was absolutely brilliant. And yeah, since then, he's kind of drifted out. I know he kind of was injured for a while and came back into the team. He's been poor since, but yeah, I think he's starting to come back to a bit of his best. Maybe he just needed to run a games.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think from the match this weekend, like, it's going to be an interesting again, like the guys, I think it's going to be a draw. I think the two teams are fairly well matched. They've obviously European matches to contend with as well. I think Nunes has started to bang in the goals as well over the last number of weeks. I know he was very fond of hitting the post since the start of the season now, but yeah, he's started to find his feet now. Salah's back. Salah came on for a few minutes there in last night's match as well, so that can only be a bonus for Liverpool coming in towards the end of the season. So yeah, it's going to be an interesting match. I think it'll end up being
a draw. I think we're all, well, actually I'm not going to predict a draw. Actually, I'm going to predict Liverpool. I think Pep and Klopp have become even bigger than Wenger and Ferguson in the day. I think their style, their method, it's all about the football. And they have like, I used to often mock Klopp with his heavy metal football, but I really believe that this Liverpool 2.0, which I believe me, I was not convinced of, but Van Dijk's performance on inspiring those young friends in the League Cup final, and with Salah coming back, I think that this could be a big fixture in the league. I think Liverpool will win it, and I think that there's more to come. I think there's definitely one outstanding show of From Fever Pitch to Hurler on the Ditch for Scariff Bay Community Radio yet to come. So, lads, thanks again for everyone that was contributing tonight. Actually, one thing before we do go, it's looking back on this fixture, and let's say Klopp, it could be his last, let's say, time playing Man City. Do you think that's going to be a factor? James, how do you think that's going to be a factor tomorrow or Sunday?
No, I don't think so, no.
Okay, lads, what do you think, Ross?
Yeah, I can't really look. He's had his kind of moment in the sun in the sense that he's had the announcement. It's out there. Like, I think, look, he just needs to kind of get through to the end of the season now. But I can't really see it having any impact now. Maybe he might try and use it. He's a great one for his communication and trying to get his message through to the guys. And
yeah, I was thinking it won't affect him, but it might affect his players.
Oh yes,
his team might say, let's do it for Jürgen.
So. Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah. So lads, so we're predicting 3 draws, and I think I'm going to go for a Liverpool win. And thanks again for everyone. Thanks, James. Thanks for your contribution from Amsterdam.
You're more than welcome. Look forward to next time.
Yeah. Terry, thanks for your contribution from Kepaman.
Yeah, pleasure. Nice speaking to James and Ross again.
And Ross, thank you for your contribution.
Yeah, thanks for meeting him. Thanks, guys.
The pack was good in Picklewood, and I wouldn't leave the crown. But Glass is flying and Minnie's crying. Sure, Paddy was going to town. Oh, mother dear, I'm over here, and I'm never coming back.